minister to you this morning. I want to just release blessing to you. We're so glad to have you with us. John, I don't know if it's what it is, but there's just something stirring in my spirit, and not only this morning, but you have been in a place where you lost your firm, and I went through that too, and I know the pain, but I also know the freedom that we have in Jesus. I want to share with you this morning some things that I believe will help us, and I really sense there's going to be an impartation of life as well this morning. Because as you and I are in this place and we are believing that the impression of heaven would come to us in new ways and new levels. And that's the reason why we come, because we know that there's a whole lot more to the experience that we have right at this present day. And as great as it is, if I never got another thing from Jesus, I'd be happy. I mean, I'm just so glad that he has saved me, filled me with his spirit, just give me a destiny, and I have a sense of his life flowing through me. I'm thrilled with that. But I know there's so much more. Amen. And I don't know about you, but this has always been a part of me. I remember one time when I was out in Calgary, I wasn't even saved. But I always had this desire that when something was in me or when I was enjoying something, I wanted somebody else to be able to receive from that as well. And I can remember when back in the 70s, when the first time I ever went out west, and I went into the Rocky Mountains. I was all alone. One day I went alone and I climbed up some mountain, and the beauty of it, and I remember thinking, I wish there was somebody here to be able to enjoy this with me. And whenever I have a revelation from God or something happens, I have a desire to impart that to somebody else. Just for them to be able to receive as well, to them to be able to have revelation, for them to be able to receive, whether it be healing or whatever it is that has been deposited in me, I have a desire for it to get it out there so that others will be able to sense the goodness of God as well. As I was praying a bit about this last night, actually, and yesterday a little bit about what the Lord would have me share this morning, there's a few things that I want to share, and then I just have a sense to lay hands on some people this morning as well. But the things I want us to, and probably this verse has come from some of the teaching that we had and some of the comments I've heard from the teaching that we had over the last couple of days. And of course, you know, we all know the verse in Hosea 4:6, it costs, but my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I've heard the saying this week, man, I wish I'd have known that when my kids were little. Man, I wish I'd have known that when my kids were younger. When I was younger, I wish I would have known those things. How could we have known this? Well, the devil does everything he can to keep us from walking in the knowledge of the things of God. And, you know, he did a pretty good job on me before I came into the kingdom, I'll tell you that. And, you know, I stumbled around since then, and the Holy Spirit has helped me, and I found out some things. But I'm always finding out there's so much more to learn. When I receive something, I see some powerful message that would be so good for fathers. I think, man, I'd love for every father to hear that message. Every father has still got little kids, so that even when they begin to grow, they can start putting into practice some of the things that we learned. So now it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now notice, it says that because they have rejected knowledge, I have rejected them. Now, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Sometimes I think, well, I didn't know about that, so I'm not really accountable. Well, let me say this, that if you haven't made yourself available to know it, you're held accountable. It's the same thing as rejecting it. We will be responsible for some things that we say that we don't know. If we haven't made the effort to enter into some things and begin make ourselves available to be able to hear the truths and principles of the kingdom of God, we are going to be held accountable. It'll be just like we rejected it. We just flat out rejected it. And actually, I mentioned this 2 weeks ago. I mentioned that I do everything I can to make things available to us to be able to enter into it. But sometimes when we have meetings about a particular subject, hardly anybody shows up. But yet it's available to you. And I want you to think about this a little bit now, because when we stand and give an account before God, there's going to be times when we can say, well, we didn't know that, God. Well, God said, he'll say, well, I've sent people to you. They were made available to you. You had the opportunity to learn, but you just didn't take it. God is going to speak to us in that, and we're going to have to give an account. Now, the difficulty is that, with that, is that most of the time, almost all the time, the price for rejecting or not making ourselves available is going to be paid a lot of times, not so much by us, but by those who we influence. Whether it be our children, whether it be a family. In my case, it would be our church family. If I refuse to make myself available to some of the things that God wants to teach me and through other ministries and so forth, then you guys would pay the price as well. Right now, you should stop and say, I need to pray for my pastor. So that he'll make himself available. There is always a price to pay. There is always a consequence to the way we do things. And so we want to make ourselves available. And we can't think that just because we don't know something. I've been learning a lot lately. And I spoke of it. I'm going to just touch on this, and then I'm going to go on. But men, we have for years said, and we make jokes about it. And we make this joke about not understanding women. We make a joke about, you know, the guy said to, God said to this guy, I'll give you anything you want. What would you like for me to do? And he said, well, he said, I would like to understand the mind of a woman. And God scratched his head and said, well, tell me another thing. What would be the second thing? And he said, well, I'd like to know how to build a Confederation bridge. Well, he said, then I'll give you the second thing. Now, I'm losing the punchline on this. I forget. It was supposed to come around like to God, it was a whole lot easier to build a bridge than to understand the mind of a woman. I lost the punchline. But anyway, we hid behind that. Men, we hid behind it. Many of us are still hiding behind it, that we can't understand the mind of a woman. But that's a lie from the devil. It's our responsibility to do what we can to understand how a woman thinks. And I got a real good book to mention to you if you want to find out. It's called Understanding the Mind of a Woman by Ken Nair. Men, you should all get a hold of it. You should read that. Now, I'm going to try to find out over the next few months just how much effect your pastor is having on you, because I'm going to ask you. Did you ever make any effort to get that book and begin to read it? I'll guarantee you, you'll be squirming when you read it. That's encouraging. Well, we talk about wanting to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's going to take some stretching, unless we think we're so close to it now that we're not even going to notice the transformation. It'll hurt, but it'll be worth it. Because God wants us to change our thinking completely. Now, what I want to share with you this morning, I'm going to start off with 3 John chapter 2. Beloved, I pray that you may be prosperous in all things and be in health. And the key that I want us to get on this morning is just as your soul prospers. The God the Father, by the Apostle Paul, spoke forth those words to his body, and he said, it is my desire that you prosper and to be in health. But I'm tying that into the prosperity of your soul, or how well your soul grows in the things of heaven. How much healing you can walk into in the soul realm. I'm tying the prosperity financially and physically to the prosperity of your soul. Now, if you go and get somebody who has a lot of wealth, a lot of gold, and have no prosperity in soul, that's a disaster waiting to happen. But yet so many of us, we will think about the financial prosperity without taking the initiative and the pain and so forth to be transformed into the image of God. And the main area that's worked on when you are transformed into the image of Christ is the soul, mind, will, and emotions. Because our born-again spirits have already, God has already regenerated our spirit man on the inside, and it's become brand new. But our soul realm has to go through a transformation. We have to learn to abide by the principles of the kingdom of God, because God gave those principles in order for us to, our soul, to get in line with the things of heaven. And so our environment, our culture has adapted us to think according to its design. Now God wants us to take a look at the book, at the manual, if you will, of the or the manual that was set in place when he created you and I. Debbie and I were just sharing a little bit about this last night, and I was just saying, you know, it is just so amazing how when God made man, we are so intricately made. We are set precisely according to his plan and perfection. All his works are perfect. And when I've heard it said, you know, about the axis of the earth is on a certain axis, and if it was tilted just one little bit, it would set everything off. That's the same way with you and I. We have been created and designed to function in a certain pattern. And when the enemy came in and started causing us to be deceived and kind of begin to operate outside of what we have been designed to operate in, it affects everything. The same way a shift in the axis of the earth would affect everything on earth. It affects all of us. It affects every part of our being. So our family, for instance, it's all affected. But as we get back, learn some of the word of the Lord and how we're to operate and so forth, he begins to put things back in place. Now, this is a journey. For 27 years, I had very little to do with God. And most of those years, I just didn't pay any attention whatsoever of God. And so I had laid some deep roots down and some deep strongholds in my life that I've been on a journey ever since, getting them cleared up. Now I thank God for everything he's done. Like I was saying before, I am so glad I'm saved and don't have to die and go to hell. I'm so glad God put a love on the inside of me that I really believe now I know how to love. You know one of the reasons why I know how to love? Did I know that? I was just walking around there a few minutes ago and I said to the Lord, Lord, I just feel the love of the people this morning. I said, I just feel loved. I feel loved by you. I feel loved by God. And that's just an awesome thing. It really is. It's such a joy. And I know, you know, the scripture says that God has sent his love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. He's put it in there. Not only that he loves us, but the God kind of love has been impregnated into us so that we can love properly. Praise God for that. It's just awesome. The love of God. Now, thinking in mind, beloved, I pray that you might prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Some interesting stuff there, because we have to get back to a place of seeing exactly what God says about prosperity and about humility and about growing in his grace and so forth. We can't afford to conjure up our own thinking about what humility is, for instance, or what pride is. We have to go back to the word and to be able to see some of these things. Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about Moses is giving instruction to children of Israel. They're about to go into the land of Israel and land of Canaan, and he's given them some clear instruction because he wants them to prosper when they cross the Jordan River and go into the land. And so, talking about the Lord, he said in verse 16, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know. He fed you. He provided your daily necessity. He provided the food that you needed every single day. And it says the reason that he did it was that he might humble you. Isn't that interesting scripture? that he might humble you, and that he might test you to do you good in the land. Now, how many of us would like to say, oh God, you are the one who meets my daily needs. I'm so glad, Lord. I'd just like to have my table set every morning. I'd like to have my bills paid. I'd like to have the food that I need on my table every morning, the gas in the car, the rent paid, and so forth. Just each day as it comes, I'd like for it to come from you the same way as the manna came from heaven when the children of Israel walked in the desert those 40 years. But yet he said it was done. It was a time of humiliation for the children of Israel. Now think about this. Why would that be a time of humiliation? Well, do you ever notice sometimes when raising little kids that when you were bringing them up, that there was times that you tried to do something for them and they didn't want you to do that? They wanted to do it themselves? We heard a good story about that yesterday. I'm not going to go into it this morning. About a young man who was eating a hamburger, and his father jumped in and cut it, and he really didn't want that. He wanted to do it himself. You see, he took it on as a humiliation that his father stepped into his territory that he had already told him it was yours. Well, God told man, he created man in his image after his likeness, and he said, I'm going to set you in on the earth, and I want you to have dominion in the realm that you function in. And yet when Israel disobeyed and came to the wilderness and they were eating manna, he said, I provided that to you so that it might humble you and test you. Now we'll see what true prosperity is. It says now, he says, I fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then, now he's talking about, in that scripture, if we go through all that scripture in chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, we would find out that God is giving them some clear instructions that when you get into the land of Canaan and you get all kinds of good things in the land of Canaan and you live in your nice, wonderful houses and you have gold and silver and you have all kinds of things, he's given them a warning that when they get in there and get that, then that you say in your heart, it is my power and the might of my hand that have gained this wealth. You see, when we move in and begin to prosper in so many areas, whether it be in business or whatever we're involved in, we begin to prosper, we can have a tendency to think that we brought ourselves there. But yet the Lord said in verse 18, but remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. So he's given us ability. The things that we enjoy today, whether we think we were super smart and started our business, got it going this way and that way, and started our job or a successful teacher or a book writer or no matter what it is, we get to the point that it was because of all my hard work and because of all my study that we got there, we're enjoying the wealth that we have today. God says, no, that is not true. He says, I'm the one who gave you the ability to do that. Yes. Now, I want to prosper you in that way, and I want to give you that ability. But remember, you haven't done it on your own. Amen. Kind of reminds me of the man said to God, he said, God, we can do anything now. We can make a test tube human being. We can do anything. In fact, I can prove it to you. God said, okay, I'll make a man, you make a man, and then we'll go from there. So the man said, okay, great, that's what we'll do. And the man starts gathering up some dirt, because you know that's what man is made from. God starts gathering up the sand and the dirt and soil, and then God says, oh no, just a minute, you get your own soil. He has a hand in everything. And as soon as we step outside of realizing how desperately we need him, we get into a place of pride, we get into a place of I can do it on my own, and we get into a place of destruction. But you and I need to recognize no matter how many good things that we enjoy, it comes from God. He gives the ability. He gives us the ability to get wealth. Put your hand right here on yourself. Say, Father, I thank you that for the ability that you give me to get wealth. I thank you, Lord. You give me the ability to prosper in my soul. Lord, I'm determined to seek the prosperity of my soul above wealth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Lord, we just receive that in the name of Jesus. We receive the prosperity of soul right now. We take that into our hearts, God, in the name of Jesus. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. A person is prosperous because he is loved by God, not even because he has a right to be prosperous. We're prosperous because we have a daddy that loves us. It's like we heard so much over the last couple of days, our Jewish fathers. They were the good in business, and prosperity seemed to come to them. And they would bless their children and speak prosperity into their destiny, into their lives. Health and prosperity are tied to the prosperity of the soul. And if we try to get prosperity outside of the boundaries of the prosperity of soul, like I say, it begins to be a disaster to us. But God wants you and I to make sure that we are prospering in our soul, because if we're prospering in our soul, then our families are going to be blessed. I'm telling you, folks, if we will prosper in our soul, everything else will take care of itself. But you can prosper in wealthy things, and you can shower your kids with wealth and still be in tremendous turmoil if you don't have prosperity of the soul. Things can happen that'll absolutely tear you apart. Even though you could have wealth, gold all around you. But if your children, if it's a broken family and broken lives because of so many things that takes place because of a lack of prosperity of soul, everything just falls apart. It doesn't matter how much wealth that you have. But you know what? You can live in a little house, just walking in your, according to the everyday needs be met, and yet you have total peace in your spirit. Amen. You've been endeavoring to see that your family is growing in a healthy fashion, that they're happy, that they have just a destiny in their hearts, that they have had the blessing of God spoken over your children over and over again, and you can just sit back and relax, and even if it's old rickety rocking chair and it's kind of glued up together just to hold it together, and you can say, man, I'm blessed. Amen. I'm blessed. My family's happy, my family's blessed, my family's healthy. I'm a blessed man. Amen. I'm a blessed man. Now, I believe God wants us to walk in both. Amen. I really do. And if our soul will prosper, he'll show us how to walk in the financial prosperity of God as well. Proverbs 19:8 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. So wisdom, when we grab a hold of wisdom and we get that wisdom from the word of the Lord, we know that we are nourishing our soul. We are prospering our soul. We are feeding our soul with the word of God, with the wisdom of God. Proverbs 8:20, I, wisdom, lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of justice, that I might cause those who love me to inherit wealth, and I will fill my treasuries. So we really have to work at making sure we get our eyes off the gold and glitter and look for the true riches. Now, you know what? I believe in prosperity. I believe that God wants his people to walk in more than enough. Because when they were walking in the wilderness of just having enough, the manna every day, they were just having enough. Bible calls that God was humbling them. But the God that we serve is the God of more than enough. He wants us to walk more than enough, but he doesn't want us to go after the gold and the silver. He wants us to go after the wisdom, the character and wisdom of God, so that we would walk in the true prosperity of God, that we wouldn't be out of balance and begin doing things outside the boundaries that God has set for us. Because he wants us to walk in purity and holiness before him, having a clean hands and a pure heart, not serving a God of mammon, but Jehovah God, who is full of love and blessing and insight and wisdom. Now, the more I learn about the Word of God, the more I learn about the principles of God, the more I learn about the more revelation I get about how you and I are to live on this earth today, the more I'm convinced we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. The more I'm convinced we so desperately need His power to work in and through us, to change our lives, and so that we can impart even, and one of the things that really stirs me is that when my boys are 28 and 31 now, and you know what? I have more desire than ever in my life to impart blessing to them. I so want to impart blessing to them. So when a desire comes up, I also think, Lord, Holy Ghost, I so need you. I so need you to be with me when I lay hands on them and pray for them, that an impartation will take place from our Heavenly Father, that they'll receive the Father's blessing and they'll be able to walk in the destiny that they have. Now, I have done that to my boys, I have. But I just heard this week about how much Greg Hill was talking about how the Jewish people say that's done every week in Jewish culture. And those who that would follow the Sabbath each Saturday, they do it on Friday night, actually. And yet we have a revelation of this once in a while. And, you know, Christians are notorious for doing this. Rather than create a culture, we do something once and think we really got a hold of it. But it has to be an impartation that takes place. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. Shela baba sondo kosinde. Loko kota barasinde. Sondo baboshite. Haho sokolo babasinde. Le baboshite kosondo lo mandasinde kosondo lo babasite. Sondo, I send those here and there to impart my life to those that whom they come in contact. You've been sent here at this season in order to impart not only the word that you bring, but what you carry in your spirits is being released. And when there is a release that comes forth, there is a refilling that takes place by my spirit, says the Lord. And I choose to refill you, recharge you, cause you to become revitalized in your spirit so that there'll be more impartation to take place in the days ahead, says the Lord, for I am in the very thing that you are doing, for I have placed you here, and I have set you in your position, the perfect position that I've had designed for you from all eternity. And as you reap the rewards of the place that I've set you in, says the Lord, you will find that the rewards are well worth the price that has been paid. Whew, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we just speak blessing upon my brother and sister in the name of Jesus Christ right now. I speak blessing upon them in the name of Jesus Christ, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, going deep down in their soul and in their spirit, the peace, the impartation of the peace that comes forth in the name of Jesus Christ right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I think I'm just going to do what I believe, seeing the Lord instruct me to do. If I want to lay hands on people this morning, if you, and I don't know, not sure just what kind of a blessing that He wants to impart. But I can feel the anointing in my hands. And I feel that the Lord's saying that, challenging you to grab a hold of that which would help you to be conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. To grab a hold of that, that you wouldn't be one of those who refused instruction by being absent. What do I mean by that? I mean that you didn't take the time to get the instruction that you need. Whether it be take time to, when you get up in the morning and take your cup of tea and you go alone and you have the Word of God open there before you and you say, Holy Spirit, I so desperately need you to bring me revelation now of your Word. But Holy Spirit, I don't only want revelation. I so desire your presence to be with me, to be on me, to flow through me. so that others might see the wonderful gift that I carry because of the Holy Spirit in me. I just want to impart blessing. So stand up with me, and if you desire that, I want you to come on up right now. And I don't know, I don't know if I'm going to lay hands on everybody, but I'm just going to speak. At least I'm going to speak blessing over you. I'm going to speak the blessing of God over you.